evening. Always a pleasure to be able to come and study the Word with y'all. Especially appreciate the elders and giving me an opportunity to come and bring the Word and to learn and to teach. As I was thinking about what I was going to bring as a lesson, I was singing along with a song that is not in our songbooks, and it's called How Can I Keep From Singing? I'll read a couple of the verses to you. It's quite an older song, but it goes, this is the first verse, and we'll just read that and kind of get the premise of it. And it goes, "My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off, him that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?" Thinking about all the things that we may endure, that we may constantly worry about, that may weigh us down, and yet we can still go from day to day asking ourselves that question, how can I keep from singing? How can I keep from praising God and having faith in Him? Psalm chapter 146, if you'll turn with me there, beginning in verse 1, reading verses 1 and 2, says this very thing. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I still have my being." Now, we're going to go into the rest of this chapter later on in the lesson, but this idea of praising God, we find this all throughout the Psalms. We find this all throughout Scripture. This idea of having faith and praising God, having hope, and doing so joyfully. And that raises the question, what happens when our joy and our comfort ends up dying, when it ends up fading away? Turn with me to Lamentations, if you would. Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 1. Now, just to get a background of Lamentations chapter 1 and chapter 2, we know that Jeremiah the prophet wrote this book of mourning or of groanings. And we have a picture in chapter 1 and 2 of Jerusalem's deep sorrow. It was laid to waste because of the people's sin. And as we begin in chapter 3, we see even through their suffering, they are encouraged to pour out their hearts unto God. Even though God has laid His affliction upon them, they are told to still turn back and focus on God. Especially in chapter 3, we're going to start out, and it's a very negative beginning here. It doesn't start out in a positive way. And yet, we can still have hope. And we'll look at a couple examples of that. Begin reading with me in verse 1. Of Lamentations chapter 3. "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely He has turned His hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago." And as we look at this first section here, there's no way of escape for especially for Jeremiah here in this instance, but also for the children of Israel who had sinned against God and they were receiving their punishment. But there sometimes is no way of escape for the things that we must endure. And we know that looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God gives us a way to bear those things, a way of escape. And yet, here we find Jeremiah completely and utterly lost. He's hedged about. It says he's been besieged and surrounded with bitterness and woe. His flesh is aged. It's causing him mental strain that's taken years off of his life, is the way he puts it. And in verse 6, "He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago, those who are Lot in Hades." And as we read on, "He has hedged me in," verse 7, "so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked." Another translation of "made my paths crooked" in verse 9 is, "He has marred my paths." Or you could also say, "He has turned them upside down." someplace that you're trying to go, something that you're trying to accomplish, maybe something in Jeremiah's case that you would wish to flee, that you would wish to get away from, and yet God has turned his paths upside down. In God's plan, there is no out from this affliction that these children must endure, the children of Israel at this time. So he asks a question here. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, verse 10, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all of my people, and their taunting all the day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Jeremiah here crying out to God, asking him and telling him, my strength and my hope have perished from me. And yet he is still able to say that he has hope for God and God's mercy at this time, as we continue to read on. There is still hope, even in times of complete darkness. Verse 19 through 20, if you'll read with me there. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. He's humble here before God. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. We find this patience, not only humility that Jeremiah has here, but patience. Continuing to read in verse 26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it upon him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside justice due to a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back unto the Lord. At this point in time, this resignation of self that Jeremiah was saying that they should do at this time, to put their face in the gravel, to accept those who were tormenting them, and be joyful in such a thing through their patience, knowing that there is hope if they are right with God. Especially here, if you will look with me in verse 27, he says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. One thing we know about Jeremiah is he's been prophesying for a long time. He was enduring this from his youth. He continued to do so, and yet we find that he says that the soul, in verse 26, the one who seeks him should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 28, let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it upon him. And we think about that burden that God has laid upon Jeremiah in this context, and those who had to bear with God's affliction. We sometimes have to bear with another's burdens, and we especially have to bear our own load. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In this context of helping a brother or sister who has fallen into a state of sinfulness, he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing not in himself alone, and not, he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For each one shall bear his own load." So here Galatians, strangely, almost has a parallel idea that we just read about in Lamentations. This idea that we're bearing our own load. We are being humble, as we see in verse 3. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What did we just read in Lamentations? Put your mouth in the dirt. Sit and be silent and wait for God. Bear the yoke that He has put upon you. And in verse 5, we find that very thing. Each one shall bear his own load. And yet that does not mean that we cannot help our other brothers and sisters in Christ, as we saw in verse 2, that we, as we are bearing our own load, should be willing to help one another and to bear one another's burdens. And just to, so that we don't get the idea that today that your actions immediately will cause a response physically from God, we need to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and continue to remember the fact that even though evil people do evil, sometimes they don't immediately receive the punishment for such things. And sometimes good men die in their righteousness. So we cannot continue down that path either. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, just to put this idea down. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, reading in verse 15. "I've seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness." And over in chapter 8 and in verse 11, "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." And so we find that it's not always something that you could say, well, you're having to endure this because you sinned. And why can we say that? Well, if we wanted to go in a little bit more depth in Ecclesiastes, we could look at the book of Job. What had Job done to deserve the things and the afflictions that he endured? Nothing. It was a test. It was something that was meant to confirm his faith and to build him up and make him stronger after he endured such a thing. And so we can have faith that even though our joy and our comfort may die, even though we may find ourselves in a place where we are round about in darkness, as Jeremiah said that he was, that we can still have hope in God. Let's look at Job chapter 19, if you'll turn with me there. Job chapter 19, beginning in verse 21. Job answering his friends here in this context of chapter 19, after they continually torment him, after they continually accuse him of things that he has not done, he says, have pity on me, O you, my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does, and are not satisfied with my flesh?" We know at this time that he understands he was not deserved of this punishment. And he's pleading with them to understand he has endured this. His flesh shows it. He has boils. He's in no state to be considered healthy by any means. We know that he was covered with ashes. And we go on in verse 25, if you'll read with me there. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." Now, throughout the book of Job, we know that he does not know who Jesus is. It was well after him that Christ came died on the cross for our sins, and established his kingdom that we are in now. And yet, we see that Job had faith in the avenger, as the translation puts it in certain translations, or the redeemer, verse 25. I know that my redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at last on the earth. We know that Job was also pleading to God for a mediator, someone that he could speak to before speaking to God, and we know that our mediator is Christ, as we read in Hebrews. Such a thing that he had hope for, that God would not be unjust, and that God would provide such a thing for us. And he knows that as he proclaims his faith in verse 26, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. He has faith even that he will be resurrected, and he's yearning for God. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me, be afraid of the sword for yourselves. For wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. And so he brings a warning to his friends here that we should all warn ourselves of if we see our brother and sister living in pain. Not saying living in sin, living in pain, going through troubling times, and we decide to tell them, well, it's because of something you did. It's because of an action that you took. Instead, we should really make sure that we read that passage in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1. Consider ourselves, lest we be tempted as we are helping another. Because it could be as Job here in this instance, where you see someone who is enduring those dark times, someone who is going through those dark times of affliction, and we can say that we know that our Savior lives even through these troubling times, because he is Lord of heaven and earth. We're going to go back to the passage that we began with in Psalm chapter 146, if you'll turn with me there. Psalm 146. And we're going to read the chapter and talk about it a little bit. Psalm chapter 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, and he returns to this earth. In that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners and opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow by way of the wicked. He turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that we could read, that we could sing to ourselves and understand that God has not forgotten us even in times of trial, even whenever we have to endure darkness, even when we're not comfortable, even when we are enduring physical pain, or maybe it's a form of spiritual pain. Someone has died and we feel that in our hearts. And it hurts us. This is not something that could cause us to be estranged from God, but instead, we should grow closer to Him. We should endure those things which God has given us to bear. And we should do so knowing that He is in heaven for us. We're not having our faith in a earthly man or an earthly king, as read in verse 4 of chapter 146. We're not thinking, because we know even someone who, for example, established this country in a way, George Washington, just a movie on him recently, right? And all the things that he did and all the things that he helped establish. And yet, his spirit departed and he returned to this earth and he received his just reward, whatever it was. And we understand that we are not to put our faith in men, because the very day that we die, the plans that we had the things that we set into motion, those things perish. Yet we can have hope in God, knowing that he did not die, and he was resurrected on the third day to sit at the right hand of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to look at this concept a little more of the one who is in heaven at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just so we know the hope that we can have in him. How much more hope should we have after seeing that Job, not even knowing Christ, had faith in God and hoped for such things that we just read? Even more we, knowing Christ and the things he has done for us, should have hope in any time of trial. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is kind of interesting, and I don't think I've noticed it before, but verse 12 and in verse 13, the word of God is referred to as him, from his sight. Now, we know that this is the fact that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God, as we can read such a thing in John chapter 1. But this verse says the exact same thing. The Word of God, that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. What a hard thing it would be to hear that from someone who is trying to bring the word in earnest to us. Maybe as we looked in Galatians chapter 6, a brother or sister is coming to us in our time of trial. In that context of Galatians chapter 6, it was actually someone who had fallen short of the glory of God. If we are trying to lift them up and they have become hard of hearing, they choose not to listen. Turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 30. A passage just came to mind. Isaiah chapter 30. About the children of Israel and their ideas. The things that they began to say to the prophets, to those who were seers. Reading in verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And then God says that because of their distrust in him and their perversity, verse 13, that iniquities shall befall them. We cannot be like this. We cannot find ourselves in a situation where, because of discomfort, we choose to say, let's not hear about that. Let's not teach about that. Let's not heap up for ourselves teachers so that we can hear what we want to hear and not what God has given us. Back to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, reading in verse 1. We're going to go to the beginning of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. We need to make sure that we have faith. And this is to encourage us. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, if you'll turn with me there. Therefore, we must give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness? As we look at this, as we encourage ourselves with the fact that Jesus is there at the right hand of God for us, how much more can we have hope and faith knowing we can trust in him? We can have trials. We can have a weight on our shoulder. No matter how heavy, he will help us to bear it as long as we abide and remain in him. And that's another thing that we have to make sure we don't do, is to allow ourselves to be dragged into sin through our various trials that we have to endure as brothers and sisters in Christ, through the weight that is on our shoulders. It's very easy to get into a mindset of, woe is me. For example, you have Elijah, who after slaying all the prophets of Baal with the sword, 850 prophets of Baal, they killed them all. He runs ahead and gets scared of Jezebel, and he runs and hides in the wilderness because she threatens his life. You just killed 850 of the prophets of Baal and established God as the true one and only God, and now we're continuing to be afraid. And we can find ourselves in that situation. Even if we are strong at the moment, there can be a time where we find ourselves in despair, when we find ourselves sore afraid, and in a position where we can allow that discomfort to drag us to sin, to drag us to maybe do what Job's wife told him to do, to curse God and die. That's such a thing that we should not allow. Psalm chapter 34. Once again, this idea, how can we keep from singing the praises to God, of God, after what he has done for us, after what he has established for us? Through even in times of trial, we can look up to him, we can trust in him, and we can know that there is a place for our soul. Psalm chapter 34. We'll read the chapter here. Psalm chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Thinking about Jesus and what he endured, those things that we just read in Hebrews chapter 4, Look at verse 20 here. Little bit of prophecy about Christ. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And not one of Christ's bones was broken. Looking at Hebrews chapter 10 to continue to back up this idea. Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe it is that we will not be delivered from our trials. Maybe it is that that is something that we will have to endure is death. Hebrews chapter 11, this passage about those who are faithful. Verse 33, we'll start here. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. How much more could we endure such things? This passage saying, they not having received the promise of Christ. He had not come at that time, and they were willing to endure these things, endure these tortures at times. How much more should we be willing to endure for Christ, whom we have and whom we know? So at this time, as we just read in Psalm chapter 34 and in verse 22, we should take refuge in Christ. Whether you have not obeyed the gospel, you should do so through obedience of faith and baptism to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, a passage that we're very familiar with, something that we are commanded to do. Verse 21, there is an antitype which now saves us. And that antitype was being contrasted with the fact that 8 souls were saved in the ark above the water. And now the antitype through the water now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. The same idea, just as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. And if you have already obeyed the gospel, we see that you can take refuge in Christ if you are apart from him by repentance from your sins. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we do not sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a thing that we can have through Christ if we truly turn away from our sin and cling to him. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. That propitiation, that means the satisfaction of wrath. God was wrathful, and Jesus, through his sacrifice, was able to satisfy that. This propitiation for our sins. And not of ours only, but also for the whole world. Now this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We should do so. We should strive to keep his commandments, to abide in him, to trust and obey, as we're about to sing. What a wonderful thing it would be if we continue to trust God, we obey him, we see the light of his word, and we joy in it all the day. No matter how dark life gets, no matter what temptations, what trials we may endure, we can hope in Christ. We know that He is Lord of heaven and earth. We know that He is our advocate for the Father if we remain in Him. And we know that we have eternity waiting for us, and we can have the same hope that Job did if we abide in Him, knowing that someday we will be resurrected if we die with Christ, that we will be able to see Him in the air. What an encouragement that is. If there be any need for those who have not obeyed the gospel or those who have and have fallen short of the glory of God, please come forward now. Encourage yourselves with these things as we stand and as we sing.